Welcome to This Too Shall Suck podcast, a fresh perspective on grief. I'm Lauren Denise, just your average millennial out here trying to have a conversation about a taboo topic that nobody wants to talk about. It's important to know that grief doesn't just happen when you lose someone. It can happen at any moment in your life. And it doesn't have to be all bad. It can actually be a really beautiful process. And as a millennial who had to process her own grief, I knew it was important to bring a more lighthearted, fresh perspective and create a safe space to discuss a topic that is typically uneasy. As I always like to say, we like to talk about the real of grief, the whole grief, and nothing but the grief. This Too Shall Suck podcast, A Fresh Perspective on Grief, starts now.
Welcome back. Welcome back to another week's episode of This Too Shall Suck podcast, A Fresh Perspective on Grief. If this is your first time here, welcome. If this is not your first time here, welcome back. Thank you so much for coming back. I love you all. Before we get started, you guys already know what I'm about to ask. Make sure you rate, review, and follow on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. It would just allow me to get this amazing podcast out here, allow others who are going through the grieving journey to come and join us in this community of being able to grow through our grief together. So thank you in advance. Let me know when you do. Send me a message, email me so I can personally thank you, because I just love you guys. So, you know, today, as you probably see, we're going to be diving into the grief of being with a narcissist. So I do want to do a trigger warning that in this conversation that I have with my friend Renetta, we are talking about, you know, maybe some abuse that has happened, you know, not only physically, but emotionally as well. It's a good conversation. And if you are listening to this episode, if you're in the situation dealing with a narcissist, or if you have a friend who may be in the situation dealing with it, I urge you to listen to this episode as well, because I was the friend in this situation, right? Like with, you know, Renetta, and watching her be in this relationship and getting out of this relationship. But also, I had a revelation during our conversation that you'll hear that I possibly probably was with a narcissist as well. It's just a good conversation, guys. Like I said, I don't even want this to be long. I'm trying to do better because my producer, I know he's listening clearly. I'm trying to do better about having shorter intros. Okay, but I like talking to y'all, and I know y'all like hearing from me, but, you know, so I don't want this to be long, but I did want to put that disclaimer out there that, you know, it may be triggering. I got triggered during our conversation at one point because I resonated so much with Renetta and what she was going through, because I was with her in the situation. And so it was really kind of bringing back some memories. So I just want to put that out there. You know, we don't get crazy. We don't dive into it like that, but you know, just if you're, especially if you're in the situation, right? Or if you have been in the situation or know someone who is in the situation, it might be a little triggering. So, you know, just obviously take care of yourself. You know, me and Renetta definitely have a super vulnerable conversation. You know, I love Renetta. You know, again, when you see us, like, it's funny, we're like an uncanny match, but that's my boo. That is my boo. And I'm gonna stick beside her. But, you know, we'll get into this quick break. And then after the break, you will hear this amazing conversation from Renetta and I on the grief of being with a narcissist and how she got out of that relationship of being with a narcissist.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, guys, we are back. And as I told you, you are going to be able to see an intimate conversation with one of my very close friends. And it's so funny how we met. I have my Georgia State shirt on. Yay. Just to pay honor to how we met. You know, like I told you all before, you know, I met Renetta on the first day of our orientation in our master's program. And we were sitting next to each other. And I just knew at that moment it was going to be Thelma and Louise from that point forward. Trouble, you know, and it's so, what I love about it though, what I love about our relationship is that we are an uncanny pair if someone would see us out, right? Like, you know, I am 34, Renetta is 61, you know, I'm black, she's white, you know, she has kids, I have no kids, right? Like people would be like, how are they friends? Because people are, you know, weird and closed-minded, but we have been through a lot together. She has been there in times for me, you know, especially when my dad died. You know, I was able to be there for her during her situation. She's going through her divorce. And so, you know, I'm just grateful for our relationship. So without further ado, I'd like to bring on the Thelma to my Louise. So the Louise to my Thelma, woo-hoo, my good friend Renetta.
So happy to be here with you.
Hey, girl, hey.
I know. Nobody knows what they're getting in for today.
They don't. And we're going to try and, like, me and Renetta will talk for, like, 3 hours. So I'm going to try and, like,
keep to the point.
Right? I'm like, Renetta, bring it back.
Yeah. Reel it in.
Reel it in, sister. But, no, thank you for being here. I know we have had this conversation and just being there firsthand and watching you go through the process and seeing how just resilient you are now, seeing how strong you are now, seeing how much of just, I hate to say like a boss woman, but really just like an amazing
thank you.
You know, just seeing how you bounce back from that when I saw you, you know, at such a low point. And so, yeah, you know, I know that there's a lot of people out there who are dealing with this and, you know, maybe afraid or don't know what to call it or, you know what to call it, but they don't know how to get out the situation. And so, yeah, you know, the first question that I always like to start with is, can you share your journey, you know, and the grief that you have, you know, being with a narcissist?
Well, you know, I thought about that. How do you tell this story? And maybe the most important thing to start with is this, there's the story that I told you when I knew you, when I first met you, which was not the truth. There's the story that I told myself to survive while I was in it. And then there's the story that I'm still working on really understanding, which is the truth of being in a relationship with a narcissist. Because I think it's one of the hardest things about it is because it's so life encompassing. It affects every aspect of your world. And it happens when you enter, all the changes that happen when you enter into it happen just a little bit at a time to where you don't even recognize your story anymore. So when you ask that story, just that in itself is tricky. The essence of it was I'd been in an unhealthy marriage and got a divorce and found a guy who seemed to be kind of the other end of the spectrum from the one I'd been in. So I found a guy who was gregarious and good looking and charismatic and successful and seemed to have it all together. You know, that narcissist facade. And so I was very drawn into it. There was great sexual chemistry, which had been missing, you know, at the end of a bad marriage, it's not there.
Yeah, it's gone. That, right.
So that was another piece of just getting sucked in to the attraction, if you will, which isn't really who a person is, but it's the package that gets sold. And so, you know, I married him. And that's really where the story begins, is where a narcissist locks you in and gets hold of you.
Yeah. So many things to unpack there.
It's complicated. And the grief is complicated because it encompasses so many facets of your life and so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. I think something that you said again, so many layers that can be unpacked in that, but you know, like you said, that's where the story begins.
Right.
Right. You know, is now, you know, you went from one unhealthy thing to, wow, this shiny new package, this is great. Yes. Not recognizing the shiny new package also has some slashes in it that you don't see on the other side as well.
Right.
And so with that, is there grief in knowing that I, quote unquote, fell for this idea of what this was when if I wasn't in this, you know, getting out of this unhealthy relationship and, you know, kind of wanting to be open and wanting, like you said, the other side of the spectrum, I allowed myself to fall for that. Is there some guilt and grief that you struggle with, or, you know, maybe not now, but struggled with when it happened?
Not initially, because I didn't know, honestly, I didn't know what narcissism was. It's something that's talked about openly these days. It's almost like a, you know, it's a trigger word for a lot of people. And it's something that a lot of people are aware of. But mm-hmm. at the time that I entered into this, I didn't know what it was. And so I didn't recognize how I was getting drawn into the web, kind of, and what I was losing. So to answer your question, the grief of it, my goodness, you start at the top. It's the loss of relationships happened very quickly when you get to a narcissist. When you get involved with them, one of the first things they want to do is cut you off from everybody else. So, we get married in early October, and I'm going at Christmas to see my brothers because that's what I do every year. I have two brothers living in New Jersey, and I either spend Thanksgiving or Christmas with them and see all of my nieces and nephews. And I start to make plans for that, and he won't go, but says, I don't want you to go. What do you mean? I go every year. This is family tradition. This is when I see my brothers. It's like, no, you'll get sick. People who travel at that, I'm like, what? So I go, but you know what? I actually did get sick. I got flu. So I come back and I'm sick. And guess what? He gets to be right. Well, that's a big one for a narcissist. They need to be right. So he was right. So I get relegated to the bottom floor of our townhouse, kind of, you know, to separate from him and my stepson so they don't get sick, but it's like punishment. See, I was and I'm left there alone. So there is that happened, that cutting you off from people. I have friends who walked away on their own because they began to see it and didn't want any part of it. And they've come back to me post-divorce, a number of them, but there were people who began to see how he treated me, and of their own volition, they wouldn't be part of it. They couldn't support it. They could see what I couldn't see when I was in the middle of it. But then there were the people that he said, she doesn't like me. I don't know why you have this picture of her on your dresser or in your office or whatever. You need to make it go away because she doesn't like me. Well, it doesn't have anything to do with him. It's my relationship with her. It's someone I love, right. Someone I love. But no, it's about the narcissist. It's all about him. So isolating you from people that love and support you is a big part of what a narcissist will do to get you under thumb, get you under control. That is huge loss, huge grief. When you And like I said, some of it I realized at the time, and a lot of it I didn't. But when you finally can stand in it and see and process it, there's a lot of loss in there. And the number one relationship for me was my son. How difficult did he make it for my grown son to be with me? And how painful was it for my son to see me make that choice to be in that relationship when he had perspective to know it wasn't healthy? So that was huge.
Yeah, that's a lot. God, like, you know what's so funny, like listening to you, I think back into a specific relationship, two specific relationships, and I'm like, was I with a narcissist? Because they did that. Like they isolated me, you know, every time I was trying to go out with my friends, it was a super huge deal. You know, it was just a thing.
Yeah.
And like, I literally am sitting here thinking about that.
And did he want you to build him up?
Oh yeah, girl. For sure.
So part of what that guy in you were in your relationship, he wanted you to make him look good.
Absolutely.
He wanted you to make him feel good about himself. Was that part of it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Like work, run his business, like do the things for him. Like, you know, if somebody was trying to say, like, you need to be on my,
Right. Right. That's one of the interesting things is once you begin to recognize it, you can see it. But when you're in it,
you can't see anything.
Financially, you know, financially, that was a big piece of it, is to make me financially dependent.
Oh my God. Oh, I quit my job for him because he wanted me to, like, oh my God, I'm with a narcissist, y'all. I'm having like a whole revelation right now.
Right? And did he make you feel good about the ideas that you brought to his business? And did he build you up about how awesome you were to be helping him?
To be helping him, of course, yeah.
In his business. And so first the financial piece before I move on from that, and then we'll go to the build up and tear down. But the financial piece for me was we bought a house 2 months after we got married, and I sit down at we're selling a rental property that he owned, and we're buying a house. So wasn't it convenient? This is even COVID. We had attorneys come sit at our dining room table and sign papers. And I get to the papers to sign for our house that we're buying, and my name is not on them. I'm like, what? And I have three strangers at my table, two attorneys and some third person, the other person who's selling a house. So I'm sitting with this group of three strange men, and I get papers and my name's not on it. And I don't know that's going to happen. And I turn to my husband of 2 months and say, what are we doing here? And he said, this is my house. I said, what do you mean? I'm your wife. We just got married 2 months ago. This is our house.
Right.
And he starts signing papers and passing them down. And what am I? I'm embarrassed. I'm shocked. I'm humiliated because now I'm trying to speak into this with strangers there, and he's not walking off with me and having a separate conversation. He's just going to get it done. So I've sold my home. I don't own a home anymore. We're buying a house together. Wait, I don't have a home. I have my car. When my car needs to be replaced, we don't buy a car and put it in my name. He puts it in the company name. And it has good reasons and rationale for taxes and why. But again, I don't have a home. I don't have a car. And oh, by the way, I worked with him, which was complicated, but 15 years in a company that I helped grow, and he fired me. So now I'm financially dependent, don't own a car, don't have a home.
I have nothing.
I have money in bank and savings.
Yeah, of course.
I'm a freshman in college.
But us married.
And let's change. I've been doing taxes and doing financial work for years. And now let's change the passwords on the Schwab account so I can't see where the money's going. Excuse me, I'm presenting papers to add me onto the account because we're married now.
Right.
He's making it so I can't even see it. I'm 4 months in the marriage and I'm at an attorney trying to get it annulled or trying to figure out how to get out. He starts putting screws down so hard, so fast. I'm like, I've made a horrible decision. I need out. And ultimately, it took me 4 years to get out. Four years. There was that much control. It's hard.
When did you know that he was a narcissist? Because again, like you said, being in there, you don't know. And obviously 4 years. But I think maybe the first question maybe, and maybe you know the answer to this or you don't. What are some signs? You know, you hear like, oh, textbook narcissist. But what are the signs of like a narcissist? Because I had no idea really until talking to you and understanding your situation. Because everyone says narcissist. But what is that? And what does that even mean?
Yeah. It's control is the number one word. They want to control. They are... It's all about them emotionally. They aren't emotionally available. So he would ask me, how was your day? How are you doing? And all he wanted me to say was good, fine. And then he'd walk through the room, never actually wanting to know how I was. I'd leave and go on a trip for a week, 2 weeks, be gone, walk in the door, having been gone for a long period of time. Did you have a good time? Yes. Leave the room. Not where'd you go? Who'd you see? What'd you eat? What'd you do? No genuine interest. It's all about what you can do for them. So there is a piece where so you think, how did I get there? You know, how am I in this with a narcissist? Because you're asking, what's their tendency or what's the characteristics? Well, part of it is they need you to look good. They pick a partner that they believe will support their image, will support who they are and their goals, just like your boyfriend did. He wanted you to be all about his world, right? So you have to be some kind of wonderful or they never would have picked you. So they make you feel like you're the chosen one, and they build you up and they build you up. And then it's like knock you down flat to get you back in the place where they want you to be. So you're in this constant up and down feeling of you don't know what to think about yourself. One minute, you know, you're trash, and the next minute you're wonderful, according to them. And so you're trying to find your equilibrium in there. Well, it really doesn't matter to them about you. It just matters who you are, how you help them, how you support them. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So, look, I'm like having all types of revelations right now. Like, I'm like, oh my God, I think I was literally with a narcissist. Because everything she said was my whole entire relationship. And like, it got violent. It was out of control.
And that's not a small thing, Lauren, right there. And I don't know if you want to go there now.
So what I will say is that he didn't like punch me or choke me or anything like that, because I knew that if it ever got to that, it would be a real life problem, because you knew my daddy. Oh, so yeah. It would be a real life problem. Right. Mm-hmm. But I stopped it right before he got there. Like he basically, what he did is he snatched my shirt so hard that it ripped. You know, cause we were arguing, like we're yelling at each other. We're arguing, and he's way, you know, I'm small, I'm 5'3". He was 6'4". And I can't believe I'm on this platform talking about this. And we were yelling, arguing about something we always yell and argue about. Who knows? And what I will say is I was wrong. I did, because he said something crazy to me, and I did slap him. I was wrong for that. So let the record reflect, I should not have done that. And in response to that, he tried to grab me. I don't know if he was trying to grab me by the neck or what, but he grabbed my shirt. And when he grabbed my shirt, it ripped. And then I immediately like was like, oh, this is like this kid. Because I saw the rage in his eyes, right? Like I literally saw like red coming from his eyes. And I was like, yeah, you have to go like now. Because he was living with me and my sister. And I was like, you have to go now. And he did. He got all his stuff and he left. And after that, his mom's calling me, he's calling me. And I'm like, that rage that I saw in his eyes, no. Because next time he's not going to miss.
Right.
Next time I'm going to be out on the ground, you know? So,
But what's so important about you talking about what? I'm sorry, Emra. What I was going to say is what's so important about you talking about it right now, Lauren, is that this is part of being with a narcissist. Is there is so much shame. There is so much shame in this. Like, how could an intelligent, strong, financially independent, capable woman find herself in this situation?
And so that's good, Renetta.
I think there are so many women who have been exactly where you are and exactly where I am. And you don't talk about it. You don't talk about it because you've got this partner who looks good out in the world and admitting that you're in such a bad situation when one minute it's really horrible and the next it's kind of not. So you begin to doubt yourself in thinking, is it really that bad? Is it really, you know, do I just need to try harder? Well, there are a lot of characteristics of women who end up in narcissistic relationships. And it's so funny, Lauren, because I was thinking about that in the last couple of days knowing we were going to talk, and they're as much you as they are me. So it's so not surprising because they're women who are empathetic, women who will, and not just women, this goes the other way too, but I'm talking right contextually between
us. Of course. Right.
Women who will put the needs of somebody else first, who are willing to, you know, yes, there are women who are prone to guilt. We can be guilted, you know, it makes mm-hmm. you feel bad for something. And because we are emotionally based, we take that deeply in. But there are also really strong women who have a little crack in there somewhere that can be attacked. And for me, that for some women, it's how you look, it's whether you're successful, it's something in your childhood, it's some little fissure there that the narcissist takes hold of. And for me, it was an absent father when I was young. And so literally as I was driving away in the car, leaving this man, he's chasing the car, screaming at me, "You're no better than," and he says my father's name because he thinks that's going to get me. He doesn't realize I'm so far beyond all of that right now, but he's decided this is my weak place. And even as I'm divorced from him, moving away with my furniture and out and gone, he's still literally running down the street screaming that at me because he had always known a way to stick the knife in and turn it. Fortunately, you know, I'm out and I was beyond
that. Right.
But there is, and for people who think about this the way that you are, there are people who are going to be more prone to get into a relationship with a narcissist. And so it's good to, all those things that I said are good characteristics. But if you know those ring true for you, if you have any idea that you're getting close to a narcissist, run. Don't get there, because getting out is hard and there's so much lost once you're in. So if you even think that that's a possibility, if you're really with a narcissist, they won't change and it's not about you, and they won't acknowledge that they need to change because there's nothing wrong with them. It's all what's wrong with you. So I'm so glad you got out and did it hard and fast. I was so deep in.
Well, you were married. So, and that was my question. So I'm glad you said that. I want to segue into that. Getting out. How hard was that for you? Because like you said, at 4 months in, you're noticing that you're like, yep. And then here we are, fast forward to 4 years. Like, it took that long to get out. So like, how was that process for you? And because I know somebody, like you said, is listening who is with a narcissist, and they're like, I've been married to a narcissist for 10 years. How am I supposed to get out of that?
Right. Well, I'll say I had 4 different sets of divorce papers drawn up, kind of one a year. I kept trying. Wow. I tried so hard. I don't know if it was maybe twice before the final time I got out, I literally rented a storage unit and would sneak things out of the house when I knew he would be gone playing, you know, at the gym on a Saturday morning. I would take family things or like the things that mattered the most to me, that if I had to get out tomorrow, if it happened like that, what would be the sentimental things that would be irreplaceable for me? And there were 2 different times where I snuck it all out and then I snuck it all back in, because it was such a yo-yo up and down where I'm gone, I'm going to get out, and then I would get scared. And so part of it was, I think at one point it was, I got hopeful. Maybe the first time I got hopeful that maybe I was making more of this than it was. And so I talked myself back in to going back and trying, because I had a stepson and there was, it was complicated. It was scary, you know, it was scary. And so I thought, if I just try harder, I'll make this work. And then I had everything out, and maybe between year 2 and 3, when he knew that I was seriously, it was seriously wasn't working, he threatened and said, I have the financial means to keep you in court the rest of your life. I will make you financially destitute. I will make sure that you are financially destitute. And so if I went to court and started to fight a divorce, his end game was keep me there and file another motion and file another motion and just deplete me financially. So I had nothing. And he,
oh my gosh.
So you have to stay is what he said. You have to stay. You cannot leave.
That's just so weird to me though, Renetta, because there's a couple things that when you were talking, it almost parallels to someone who's in a domestic violence situation.
Yes.
Because like, I keep hearing you say, like, I moved things out and then I came back, but I was scared. Yes. Right. And then him saying like, you know, I will financially deplete you. But it, to me, what's weird to me, and I don't know if, again, this is all situations, but to me, listening to yours, it's like, it didn't even sound like you really liked me or loved me like that, but you don't want me to go anywhere. Right. Why?
I'm there to serve him.
Oh.
And that included sex. At some point, you know, you can imagine at the end, but it's
just laying there like a rag doll.
No, I wasn't laying there. He lived in a separate 15 by 15 room and didn't even intersect your life by the time you knew me. But he had his demands, and he wanted me literally putting on something slinky and pretty and red lipstick and coming in every night. Every night before I would go, he wanted sex on demand every night.
I cannot.
And you try and talk to somebody and say, if it was a real relationship, it's like, honey, I just had the kid at the doctor today and he's running 103 fever. And I was up at 5 o'clock this morning and I'm a little snot covered with little dog. I'm doing a reality check here to say, I don't think it's happening tonight. You know, love you, man, but. You know, and it was ridiculous. You know, it's like it was part of the demands of it, you know, and that he demanded. And like, and so we would go through this period of time with great sexual activity, according to him. And then I was like, are you kidding me? You know,
meanwhile, you're being summoned with a bell
for months. I couldn't hear you, Lauren.
I say you're being summoned with a bell. Come.
Yes.
Come give me some booty, please.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it wasn't a real relationship. It wasn't an emotionally connected relationship. And they aren't, because that's one of the characteristics, back to your earlier question, characteristics of narcissists is that they can't really emotionally connect. And usually if people get help, if narcissists get help, there's some earlier trauma in their life. And I actually know him enough that I know where that trauma was as a young child, where he made a decision that he had to be in control. And he decided that as a young child. I just didn't understand. I learned that about him later in life, but I didn't understand how it played out in his psyche. And so they're not looking for that deep emotional connection, and you won't get it. You won't get it with a narcissist. And so being in there, how did I get out? Well, I did the most important thing. If anybody's in there and trying to get out, you're going to have help. You're going to have help. And that help comes from, for me, it was, I mean, at the very end, it was getting a group. Well, the first step was getting a good counselor. And so I had been working with a woman for a period of long time, really. But because I didn't understand narcissism, I wasn't giving it up to her. I wasn't telling her my truth. Remember at the beginning, I said there was the story I told the world and the story I told myself and what was the truth? Well, I wasn't telling my counselor the real truth of it all until we were at the end where I was leaving and my husband wanted me to stay. And I said, you have to go to this counselor with me. I mean, it was just, I'd been asking for years and it was an ultimatum. And when he went, we had a session where he emotionally pinned me against the wall and she couldn't back him down. And she got him in there in one session on his own. And he walked in with an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper written top to bottom and handed it to her and said, here is everything that is wrong with her. And if you will work with her and fix all of this, then we will have a wonderful marriage.
Renetta, what?
Because there's nothing wrong with him. There's nothing wrong with a narcissist. They don't need to work with you. They don't need to do any joint work because there's nothing to change in them because in their minds, they're perfect. So
I'm sorry. I'm just shocked. He walked in here with this piece of paper.
He did.
Talking about fix her.
He did. And she called me later and said, I'm going to put my licensing on the line here. She said, he's the most extreme narcissist I've ever seen. And she said, and you need out and you need to not let, you need to get, you need to file for divorce, but you don't tell him until the day you do it. Because she said, I think your life will be in danger.
Oh, wow.
And so it was at that point where I had a trained counselor who'd seen him one-on-one, who called me and revealed these things to me that I thought, well, obviously I'm not making more of this than there is. And at that point, I couldn't even begin to understand how complicated and bad this thing was. But she affirmed for me, this is bad. And you need to be afraid. And so for me, the actual end in your question of what do you advise for other people? When I actually moved out, I had women there with me. If you've got me,
I remember.
Bring them too. But I had to make sure I was never in the room alone with him. I had a conversation with him the night before I moved out. I had packers come and then moved the next day. And he called me that night. I was staying in a hotel. I'd been out of the house for a month. And called and said, you've taken too much. You can't have it. And started, he didn't say that night, he said that the next day, but he started threatening me. He started threatening me, and so I got off the phone, called my attorney, and said, are all of my affairs in order for my son?
because I want to go on record. I'm not sure I'm going to live through tomorrow. And I want to make sure I've done everything I can to take care of my son.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And I woke up the next day and I get to the house and I have people with me. I have movers, I have friends, and I get there and he's locked the house and won't let me in because he's not in control and the narcissist has got to be in control. So I call my attorney and she said, the divorce is done. It's finalized and you don't own the house. So you have no rights to the house. So I'll petition with the court, but it could take 3 months. You just need to go find somewhere to live and we'll deal with it. This is in June as we're in our graduate program.
No, I remember
going into finals, going into.
Yeah. I remember when you called me, I was like, do I need to drive out there? Cause
yeah,
I was ready.
So I actually, you know, ended up getting access into the house. He got so agitated in the middle of it all. I ended up having to call the police. I stood out on the front steps in front of the house with the police and said, again, am I making too much of this? And they said, no, this is the point when if a narcissist is going to lose control over you and they know you're leaving, this is the most vulnerable point. And this is why I bring this up to people to talk about getting out. It's an incredibly vulnerable spot because if it's about controlling you and you're taking control and you're leaving, this is when women get shot. This is when women get killed. So it's not a small thing when you say, you know, when you said that guy grabbed you, that's underneath the surface with a lot of narcissists, and it may not come to the surface until they truly feel they're losing control of you. So if you're going to get out, whatever it costs, get out. It doesn't have to cost you your life, but make sure that you have strong support around you. You have a place to go. For a lot of women, it's just like in another abuse situation. You may have to go to a place where they don't know where to find you. You know, you may have to go to a shelter. You may have to take some extreme measures. I knew because of this guy that once I left, I was dead to him, and I haven't heard from him since. But that's not the case with everybody. But with most narcissists, if they can't control you, it's over. Now, it's really different if you have kids and you still have to interact.
That was literally my next question is, what if you have kids with this narcissist?
Yeah, there are a lot of strategies for how to deal with narcissists. And I would say get help. Do not try and figure this out on your own. It's not intuitive. It's not logical. It's not going to make sense to you. But there are ways of communicating. There are ways of working with an attorney to get a divorce. You have to have an attorney who understands the strategy of divorcing a narcissist. You have to have one who understands the strategy of working with a narcissist to how you draw up your child custody agreements. I mean, there's a lot to think about, because with kids, you're going to be dealing with this for a long time. So you want to protect yourself from the get-go. I got in a support group. Well, when I first got out, I did PTSD training, because if you truly think you're going to get killed, you have trauma in your body, area in your body. And even just sitting down here today to talk to you, Lauren, as I waited, I had to kind of get my body and get stand up, get in my body, get centered in my body, because I could feel the energy, the fear energy start to move through my system, just even knowing I was going to talk about it.
Yeah.
So it's it will live in your body. So I did PTSD work, then I did a support group, and I've just recently started in on the work of how do I make sure I don't carry this forward the rest of my life? Because you lose a lot of trust when you see things a certain way and it's not that way. And so I just want to make sure that my relationships, friends, family, I don't know if I'll enter in another romantic
relationship.
I'm not putting any money on the table on that. Not sure I'm ever going to go there again, ever.
Right. But that was that was what I was thinking about is, you know, I know we've talked about it. You're like, I think I'm cool. I think I've done enough. I think I've had my fair share. I'm going to just sail off to the sunset and live my best life, which I am not mad at either. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I can imagine, you know, I think about, like, again, thinking back to me being in that relationship, but somebody who is probably like, you know, may want or desire another relationship, but now they're terrified,
right?
Because they're like, this person was charming and they were these things. And they get into this relationship that's essentially almost like, you know, having some domestic, you know, for me, it got to a place where it almost really got there. Like, even though it was like a light version of it, it almost got there. But, you know, when you said that this is when women get shot, I don't, like you said, the feeling that went through my body when you said that, like, I was literally trying to hold back tears over here, because that is what happens. You had wherewithal to call the police. You had a group of friends. You had movers. But I'm trying not to get emotional. Like, I just think about those women who didn't have that, or even men, right, who didn't have that and are in these situations. And again, you know, people don't, this person looks like they have it all together over here. Or maybe your friend group is like, something's wrong here, but you're so in it, you don't understand. Whew, I don't know why this is like triggering me.
You went through this with me too, Lauren, and it just resonates. It's all in your body. I think one of the hardest things is, because you get isolated, you don't always have your brothers there, you don't have the other people that you think that you could count on to be there for you if you've been in that relationship for a while, because they've all been pushed away.
Yeah.
And so I think that your response is a there, but for the grace of God, go I.
And yeah.
I think, you know, when I think about how this has changed me, part of it is that I think I have way more compassion and way less judgment for looking at someone else and looking at someone else's life and saying, you know, what is the truth of it? Because don't you know, the hardest question of all for me has been, how did I end up in there? How did I allow this to happen to me? And so if I think that I had a lot of privilege and a lot of advantages going into it that other women didn't, not everybody has the education that we have. Not everybody has the parental support and siblings and things that you and I have in our lives. And so, you know, I think about it and I think, if there is anything good to come out of this podcast, it's to help people be just a little more cautious. You know, I'm a little more cautious to look at a relationship and say, what is it really, you know, and to be just step back a little bit more before you're all the way in to say, what's the truth of this? Because I felt it in my gut. I had the instincts that told me it was there. It didn't all start the day I married him. That's not truth. Right. That is not my truth. It was there before. But I had reasons why at that point in my life, I wanted to be married. I wanted the financial stability. I wanted what I thought the marriage would give me. And I knew I was trading off. What you knew, Lauren, was my mother had early onset Alzheimer's. And I was my age. She was already in assisted living. And I had a son going to college. And I thought, I don't think this guy's perfect, but I think he comes from a good family. And I think he'll take care of me if I end up there. And so I think, you know, when I've gotten honest with myself, I acknowledged, you knew this wasn't right. It wasn't the right relationship for you. But you thought if you took care of him, then when you needed taken care of later, he would take care of you. And in my mind, that was some kind of okay trade-off. As much as I would subconsciously or consciously acknowledge it. But it's not. For all the things that you will lose for being in a relationship with a narcissist, it's not worth it. And so if you have any inkling that's where you're heading, don't. It won't change. It won't get better. You're not going to fix them. But you have a nature like me who thinks you can. You can be loving. You can be supportive. You can do all those things and it will be wonderful. And it won't. You'll get lost.
Renetta, don't make me cry.
It makes me cry, Lauren, because there's so many layers to this that you can't see when you're in it. I couldn't have explained this to you 3 years ago. I didn't understand.
I know you couldn't even explain when it happened.
No, I had no idea. And because I didn't know. That's why I'm saying learn about people. I haven't done a really great job of listing all the characteristics of a narcissist, but maybe we can look it up and post it on the podcast and say, here's a good list, you know, look for these signs, you know, maybe that's better because I haven't done that.
No, I think you did a great job. Mm-hmm. I mean, you sharing your experience, right? Someone listening is literally like someone, especially if you're watching this on YouTube and you see our expressions and our emotions and you see Renetta's, like, you probably are Renetta right now and you may be me as the friend who is literally feeling that. And that's why I'm like, why am I getting so triggered? But to Renetta's point, because I was there with her and I felt that for her, you know, just being her friend. And you may be in a situation where you are the friend and you see, like Renetta said, people were kind of, you know, distancing themselves because they saw it, you know, but you didn't see it. So maybe you are the friend as well who sees something and your friend's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so you're choosing to remove yourself. So it's hard, right? Because it's like, I want to be there, you know, but I can't be there if you're not even going to be open to it. So it's such a slippery slope. And I don't even know like where to go with that besides to say, just continue to try.
Yes.
Just try.
Yeah.
Because one day they're going, like you needed people there when you were moving out, or they might be trying to get out and they need you, right? And they need to be able to call you and you pick up and they're in a space where they're not safe and you're that safe space. So just keep trying. You don't have to completely write them off. You don't have to be like, well, they'll pick, just try. Because you never know how much someone really is in danger if you're not trying.
Right.
Because if you see it, 9 times out of 10, that person is probably in danger, but they don't see it yet.
Right.
And I would hate for anyone to be in a space that they didn't try and something happens to their friend and now they're feeling away. And maybe that's why I got so triggered when you said that about this when women get shot, because if that would have happened to you, yeah. So, you know, just keep trying. If you're listening and you have a friend who is in this situation, if you are in the situation, like Renetta said, get out. Get out. You know, for me, luckily, I was able to catch it before I was laid out on the ground. You know, he snatched me up and he got out. But what if I would have stayed and continued and we would have argued again? And then next time he would have laid me out, or he would have done, like, he would have choked me. Like, he would have actually been able to grab my neck, right?
The other thing, Lauren, is that you talk about the physical side of it, but we haven't really talked about the emotional abuse, because sometimes for women who've been in it, sometimes a slap is easier than the what you're left with the words and how you denigrated and how you are cut down and all the things that you're left feeling. And emotional abuse can be,
it's terrible.
It can be worse than physical abuse sometimes. And I don't want to minimize either one. I'm just saying we haven't really talked about that even in a relationship, that even if it hadn't been the slap, there are the places before that where he said the things to try and make you do what he wanted or to make you feel less than. And that takes a while. You know, it takes, you know, we say get out. And then one of the words you use a lot, Lauren, is grace. Have grace with yourself when you get out, because it takes time to heal, because it takes time to understand how all the ways that you have been affected by it. And there's probably a relationship between how long in and how long out. So just don't get in. But if you're in and you get out, be gentle with yourself, because I think one of my gifts of COVID was I had a very at-home, quiet year that helped me heal and helped me have time with my son. And I needed it all. I couldn't have jumped back in full scale into life because I had a lot of healing to do. And so just try and be gentle with yourself and find other people who will do that with you, because you'll need it. You'll need that. You need nurturing to come back to yourself, because I didn't even know who I was anymore. And a lot of people talk about, you know, who they were evolving to during COVID and how they were. I spent that whole year trying to remember who I am. Oh gosh, you're that and you're this and you're capable of this and you can do this. And in my last year here that I've been, you know, I've been living out of that expression of who I am, but I couldn't go from in the narcissist relationship to that without that space to actually reaffirm for myself who I was before the narcissist. And then you can decide if you want to change or you evolve or whatever, but you have to go back and recollect yourself and say, oh, wait, I am this person first, and get grounded solid in that and then move forward.
That's good, Renetta, because that emotional abuse is definitely, like, I feel like that's a whole episode, because that emotional abuse,
yeah,
is real life. I definitely was in, now that I do know, I was in an emotionally abusive relationship in college, but, you know, a child, who knew? You know, I'm like, no, it's fine. He's not, like, not telling me what to do. Yes, he is, more. Like, he literally is telling you in your friend's face that you can't go do something, and you are 19 years old.
Yeah.
And he is 19 years old. This is silly. So,
yeah.
So many good things. We'll sit here all night and talk, but, you know, like I said, we'll try and tailor it in. So, there's, you know, I always, yeah. Huh? There's what?
There's hope. I guess that's is to say you can get out and you can heal. You know, one of you, if there is hope, you don't have to stay stuck where you were, but I don't think that you can stay and be healthy if you're genuinely in a relationship with a narcissist. I don't think that there are degrees, of course. You can have somebody who has, you know, little narcissistic tendencies. Okay, that's that. That's personality.
Right.
Okay, we can do that. But genuinely, if you're there, you're not going to have a healthy relationship. And so the sooner you get out, the sooner you can get started with healing and moving on to the next part of your life that maybe not for me, maybe for you, who knows, but maybe they're healthy relationships.
Yeah. Right. Right. Well, you kind of answered the question. You answered it a couple of good times, but you know, I'm going to give them one last gem. So for someone who's listening to this, who, you know, is like, okay, I'm Renetta, or I'm the friend who has a Renetta, or insert whatever reason it is that they're listening to this episode. What is the biggest takeaway you want them to have listening to this episode? Oof. Or takeaways. It could be multiple.
Yeah. You'll have to edit this because I'm going to take a second to think. I think the biggest thing is to understand that it's just not about you. That with a narcissist, it's not about you. And so no matter how you try, no matter what you do, wow, this is a hard one, Lauren. Hold on. Seriously, I'm going to think for a second. What is the real takeaway on it all?
And again, it could be more than one because you've said so many things already.
Yeah. I think the most important thing is, as best you can, find strength, to find support, to move forward, because it is scary. It's hard. It's emotionally so overwhelming to try and do on your own. And then this is a situation where you need help to get out and ask for it. It's a hard thing to do, but get as honest as you can with what your situation is. And maybe it's not the people most immediately in your life. Maybe they've gotten hurt in the process or ostracized, or maybe they've given up on you. Then find help somewhere else, from a women's group, from a counselor, from a support group, from a shelter, wherever you can. Find the strength that you need to acknowledge your situation and get help and get out.
Well, what a deep conversation today.
Not as giggly as we usually are.
I know. People are probably like,
pretty giggly.
You didn't laugh a lot this episode.
I know.
That's okay. It was a necessary conversation. And so thank you for being here and being open and vulnerable to that. Because I know that wasn't easy, obviously. As you see, we both kind of had our moments. But thank you. Thank you, friend.
Well, love doing it for you. And the purpose in this is so intentional, in hopes that listen to other episodes and get a good giggle. But if this one... somebody, because we do good. But if this helps somebody move forward, then I'm glad you joined us today. I'm glad you spent this time today. If in some way it gave you some strength and some hope, then it was a good time spent together.
We did what we needed to do, sister.
Yeah. Right.
So if somebody just wants to reach out and be like, oh, Renetta, thank you so much. Listen to that episode. Or, you know, where are your support groups? Where can they find you?
The easiest way is my first name, Renetta @me.com. Or I'd give a phone number if somebody wanted a phone number.
Don't get crazy.
But, you know,
Don't get wild. You can find her on Facebook.
But if somebody wants to talk, reach out, I'm there.
Hit her up. She'll talk to you. Yeah. She'll talk to you. She'll talk to you as her little laugh.
Yeah, sometimes you just need somebody else to say, I get it. I've been there. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's true. No, that's true. That's true. Yeah. Well, thank you again, sister. I know this is going to help somebody. As long as we helped one, we did what we needed to do.
There we go. I think we helped you make some sense of our old relationship today.
Listen! You know, I was like, girl. Happen? I was like, ma'am, this is about you. Had me up here like, are you in a relationship with that narcissist? Oh my God. Well, I'm going to have a fun therapy session about that. All right.
Thank you, Lauren. Love you.
You guys, woo! Look, you saw I was emosh, okay? I was emosh back there. But yeah, I don't, you know, typically there's, you know, some laughter, things like that, but I don't think there was any other way to slice it than what we just had to do, especially if you're in a situation with a narcissist, right? Or if you see a friend who's in a situation with a narcissist, I don't think there's any way to, it's not like a laughing, and I'm not saying that any other situations that or topics that we talk about are laughing, right? But I think with this one, you know, if you're looking on YouTube, you can see the pain in her eyes. You can see how much it really triggered me to see the pain in her eyes, because I kind of went back to the moment, you know, that she was trying to get out, right? And so just seeing all of that stuff is crazy. It's just crazy, right? And so if you are in that situation, if you are listening to this and you are trying to get out, I am rooting for you, and I know you're going to get out, and you're going to get out safe, and you're going to live a healed life, or you're going to get on that journey of healing soon. And I'm rooting for you. I love you. I support you. Renetta supports you. And we got you. We got you, right? And if you think you may be in a situation or in a relationship with a narcissist, I'm going to put some links that Renetta sent me of, you know, some things to look for, right? You know, take care of yourself, figure out, you know, if you need to get out, an exit plan, right? If you have a friend who is in that situation, I know it can be hard, but keep trying. Don't give up on them, because one day they may need you. Right. And you don't ever want to say that I pulled away because I saw something and they may have needed me, but because I saw that and it didn't really sit with me well, then I kind of pulled back and then something happens and now you're in the situation. So, you know, with all of this, right, you know, as you're going through trying to get out, as you're going through recognizing maybe I am in the situation when I'm with a narcissist, you know, I have a friend who is with a narcissist and I want to be the best friend to them that I can be while still protecting myself, right? You know, as you're going through all of that, as I always, always say, and as Renetta said as well, be kind to yourself and give yourself grace, because if you don't, who will? That is it, you guys. That is it. Thank you so much again for listening to another week's episode of This Too Shall Suck podcast, A Fresh Perspective on Grief. If you haven't already, please remember to rate, review, and follow on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. Also, follow me on social media at This Too Shall Suck podcast on LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook. Please send me a message. I love, love, love responding to you guys. But if you don't have social media, feel free to shoot me an email at hello@thistooshallsuckpodcast.com. Again, I love, love, love talking and responding to you guys. This episode and every episode is produced by my amazing producer, Mike Sick. And all the original music you hear in this episode is produced by my amazing producer, Jimmy Samaj. As always, guys, I love you so, so much. I'm sending you love and light in your life because you deserve it. I'll see you on the next episode. Mwah.